I had a thought, actually. When you first came in, I was like, oh, I got to go use the restroom. I told you that funny story about the person.
Dougie?
Yeah. Teach me how to Dougie. you know, it'd be amazing if Dougie, you would be listening to this right now. but I thought about it because as I was giving the description of how I remember the person, right? Part of me like went through and it's just how my brain works of like, what's the science of attraction and how do we deal with that, right? Because I think there's a very clear message from the Surgeon General, right, saying that loneliness is the new, right,
epidemic
that is here. Mm-hmm. And so there's this level of like not just romantic attractiveness, but also this level of social attractiveness. And based on, you know, the description, you and I kind of chuckled about the assumption, right, of it. And I find that interesting in general. And I want to kind of hear your thoughts about all of that and none of it at all, whatever you want to talk about, right?
Well, I think being a 30-something single woman in a community where, like, marriage is a status symbol almost, particularly like people in our community are encouraged to get married very quickly and very young. And so being like a 30-something single woman and like us talking about attractiveness, it's like, oh, I've got lots of thoughts about like attractiveness and not just like a romantic attractiveness, but just like trying to like promote myself as like in business or like as a therapist to be like attractive to clients, attractive to like prospective employees who are like interviewing and like wanting to like grow a business or like, yes, romantically too. Like there are so many different areas where like attraction is really important in our society.
Yeah.
Like that, to a lot of people, like that is the key to success.
Well, it can make or break experiences.
Yes.
Which people often give so much power to and define their worth to, right? Mm-hmm. I often hear this with my clients where they're like, you know, I never can get people to be my friend and people ignore me, don't talk to me. And we end up kind of exploring like what is that you perceive that people are sensing?
Mm-hmm.
How does that presentation kind of come across? And how does your belief system play a role in the way that you interact with people?
And what I also think is really interesting about attraction is like each individual's perspective is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And like my perception of how people perceive me can be so inaccurate. And like that's another, like we were just talking about recently, like that can, sorry, I totally just lost my train of thought. That can like lead to like we were talking about where like you start to spiral and start to like lose confidence and get really critical of yourself very quickly. And you just like keep believing this belief that like no one likes me. I'm not attractive in this way or that way. And it's really difficult to manage that.
Yeah, it is because the internal experience of perception,
mm-hmm.
right? It impacts our emotional experience and our mood, right?
Physiological processes.
All of it.
All of it.
And so we're like trying to tackle something that's huge, right? As we talk about attraction and loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really a nuance that I think a lot of people are afraid of really addressing within themselves. I've watched, especially in spaces where connection is based on the superficial,
mm-hmm.
where people spend quite a bit of resource with the way that they dress and the way that they present. And I think it is a layer and I think it is important.
Sure. To an extent.
Right. But at the same time, I wonder if as a society, maybe we're focusing on the wrong areas. And instead of those parts, I wonder if we can heal the parts of us that are afraid.
Well, and what's... Okay, so when we talk about a loneliness epidemic...
Yes.
As a single woman, yes. I can't help but think about how, like, there's, like, the male loneliness that's yes. happening right now. And how, like, as a therapist, I can have empathy for this. Mm-hmm. As a single woman, I have no sympathy for this.
Speak.
Because of what I think that, like, there... Now, I want to be careful and not overgeneralize, right? But I'm going to overgeneralize, and I'm going to own that.
You got
to
talk about something. Go ahead.
So, overgeneralizing. I think that there is a lack of depth in a lot of men, and that it is, like, very surface level. It is very much about the look and having the certain things and mm-hmm. appearing successful, and yet they don't know how to, like, hold a deep conversation. Like, I remember being on a date with a man once who had asked me how my day was, and I said, oh, it's actually been really rough. Like, I've had like some suicidal clients that I've been working with lately.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I watched a documentary today about how birds became dinosaurs, or like dinosaurs became birds, or something like that. And I was like,
wow.
This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
If you can't, like, meet me yeah, where I am.
Can't attune to me.
Right, like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And I think this is a lot of people's experiences. Like, and maybe a lot of men have this with women, too. So, like, I'm going to say that. I think this is sure, a lot of people's
it can go both
experiences,
ways.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. This is not just gender normative stuff. It just is.
Sure. But, like, there are people who don't take the time to learn that skill. Like, yeah. Oh, my partner is saying something, like, really heavy right now. Uh-huh. Let's engage with that.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, I don't know how to engage with that. So instead of, like, saying, I don't know how to engage with that.
I watch a documentary about birth.
It was, like, a second date. And I was, like, this made it really easy for me. Like,
the person made it past the first.
Yeah, I'm, like, okay. This is, like, this will be our last date. Like, you made this really easy for me.
Yes.
Because, like, I guess, like, that's something about me that's really important
that I
highly value in a partner.
Yeah, but can I just pause you?
Yeah.
I think it's a minimal standard that you're talking about.
Yes.
You don't have to justify to be.
But, okay, but I think that's something that's really important that a lot of women feel is, like, mm-hmm. we ask for the bare minimum
mm-hmm.
and are made to feel like we're asking for a lot. Like, that it's a lot that I ask that my partner have emotional maturity and can meet me where I'm at.
Yeah.
When you're right, that is the bare minimum. And so that's where I'm like, yeah, men may be experiencing more loneliness than they ever have in society, like, currently. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's because they need to do something different. Maybe, like, we need a cultural shift where, like, men do better.
Yeah. And I have this whole, like, spiel on this in terms of, like, what societally is happening. Mm-hmm. And if I like to condense it down, I perceive that patriarchy and hyper-masculinity play a role in men not understanding their emotional experience because they dehumanize themselves and other people in the process of trying to be better and trying to be elite. This idea of an alpha male space, right?
Yes.
And when we hyper-focus on these things, we underdevelop areas in our life that are essential. And because of that process of dehumanization on top of capitalization, mm-hmm. right, where we live this life where money is the aim and prestige is the goal and all of these things are so important, mm-hmm. we end up developing this idea and this lifestyle and this facade that makes up for nothing when we have no substance, right? We end up being empty on the inside and rich on the outside.
And as a woman mm-hmm. who's seeing these, like, perfectly described, Bongo, yes, these alpha male types, I'm saying in air quotes because you can't see me, like for me, from my perspective, from my worldview, when I see men like that who are trying to be big, they look so small.
Ooh. Say it.
So small.
Say it.
It's like you can just feel the insecurity. You can feel the desperation. And it's really sad, but it's also not my job to like fix that for you. It's not my job to complete that for you, like to like make you bigger. My job.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to parent you. That's not what a partnership is.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not my responsibility.
Yeah. And as I'm sitting with this, there's so many different layers of pain, actually, I'm hearing. The layer that it's hard to find people who are genuinely doing their emotional work.
Yeah. And I don't think that's like just for single people looking for partners. Like that is just true across the board.
It's friendship.
Hard to, yes. It is hard to find people to connect with.
Yeah.
Who are also doing the emotional work.
Right. Because that's what happens to my clients, right? They do this work. They heal. They realize that they deserve more.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ask people in their social circle to show up for them emotionally and support them.
Right.
And people end up saying stuff like, I watched a Netflix documentary. I'm going to repeat that in my head over and over from now on. But it's just, that's it, right?
Yeah.
And then I often feel so sad for my clients because they're in this space of, I'm glad that I'm healing, but I felt more supported when I wasn't.
Yes. It can be lonely to heal, to do your own emotional work, because you're seeing things you can't unsee and you're seeing it in other people and you're asking them to meet you there. And like we have talked about in other podcasts, there is a process to change. Not everyone is going to be in that same stage of change that you are. They're not going to be ready.
Yeah. And maybe this is like a rando idea to try to rescue people, but part of me has always wanted to do like a dating service for my clients. I know it's not ethical,
no,
but I would love to like create something that can be like, hey, let's like create a psychological profile. Let's do some stuff and let's match you with a few people. I would love to do something with that to help my clients. I never done it, but I've always like thought like, oh.
No, that could be fascinating.
I'm sure there's a way that I could do it that maybe I don't do it with my people who are my clients, but I do it as a separate business. But I've always thought about that. If like, if we could just have people understand where they're at in their work and have people who are in similar areas of the work and willingness, then we could help. And in some ways it just feels sad because what often happens in this process of people healing is they seek, and they start to feel hopeless about it. Right. Similar to folks who are dating. They look, and they're like, oh, where?
So I'm just going to give up. I'm going to stop trying. I'm going to stop doing the emotional work. Right.
Yeah.
But I have a client that like this is something that we're really working with right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is like so true. If you keep doing it, you will find someone who can match you in that emotional work. Mm-hmm. You can find a community that sees you, that hears you, and lets you know that they see and hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it can be a frustrating process. It can really test your patience, and it can make you want to quit. Of course, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And it is worth it. It can happen.
Yeah. And really, though, right? Like, I think that's the hardest layer of loneliness.
Yeah.
Because it takes work. It takes work to not be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work to find out what you need for yourself to heal, who you need around you, how you need them to show up,
mm-hmm.
how much of that need is being influenced by your historical pain,
mm-hmm.
and how to ask. Because when loneliness is there, I've also found that the lack of assertiveness is accompanied in that space.
Absolutely.
Well, I did ask, and we processed, how did you ask? Well, I kind of asked, and I'm like, let's say more. Well, I told my friend that I was going to do this thing, and then he's like, okay, cool. And it's like, I think that's different from saying, I would like to go with you to do this thing with me. versus, oh, I'm going to do this thing, right? And that lack of assertiveness and that learned helplessness that can come in those spaces of loneliness can be so painful.
Well, it is hard to be assertive because it feels like there's so much risk in that ask.
Yes.
In that asserting and advocating for myself. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying because they might say no.
Yeah.
And it's still worth it to try. I think about this a lot, like being single.
Mm.
Like how I would rather be single. Like being single is not the worst thing that could happen to me.
No.
No, but like that is an important concept for me to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Like being single is not the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Like I would rather be single and try and make my life the life that I want to live now than be in some like miserable relationship.
That you compromise and you settle, right?
Exactly. And so I think like the same thing can be said of doing the emotional work. Like, yes, you might be lonely, but you are still becoming a better version of yourself.
Yes.
You are still making progress. You're still healing.
Yes.
Even if you're lonely right now, that doesn't mean it's like a permanent thing. It's temporary.
Yeah. And part of being okay is this acceptance that I'm hearing you talk about, right?
Yes.
Because the paradox of trying to find happiness, according to research, it actually feels further the more we try to seek for it rather than be content.
Yes. I hate this phrase because I think it's so cliche and corny. Like, find joy in the journey. But I actually, like, I think it's a really important concept.
Yeah, like, there's truth in it.
Yes. We don't have to seek for happiness. We can be happy in our current circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe having someone else to share it with. Mm-hmm. Might bring us a different experience of happiness with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So should I do that dating services thing?
I think especially in a community like ours where marriage is a status symbol, people would pay buco bucks to have a psychologist help them find love. Absolutely. I think you would make great money doing that.
I have honestly thought about it, and I think it'd be so fun for me to do.
I mean, I have never been more grateful in my life that I have so many friends who are psychologists, because I'm like, I have so many people who can like vet these people for me, these men that I'm dating.
Yes.
Like dinner with Bongo one night, dinner with this friend the other night, and like we're gonna go full rounds, and I'm gonna get everyone's perspective because these are healthy therapists who can see red flags that maybe I can't.
Yeah.
No, I think you would make so much money.
Well, it's not about money. I mean, it can be. But like part of it is
like... But
you
would be doing so much good.
Yeah. I'm going to think about this. And, you know, you're probably never leaving comments in the comment section of this stuff. But let me know. Let me know if I should do it.
Yes.
Right? And the other thing we always want to leave with the invitation. What invitation feels helpful besides... joining the thing that I'm going to create later for dating.
How did we start this podcast today?
Loneliness, dressing up, perceptions, all of that.
I think, I guess like my invitation with all of this is to like talk about, like we talked about just recently, like having more people can impact your experience of happiness.
Yeah.
Like be real. Be you, allow others to like connect, and I bet that you'll actually have better connections than if you just like try and look the coolest with like the most expensive haircut and like the best set of wheels. Like,
yeah.
Like, let's just like go back to being human, please.
Yeah. Maybe a more generic way of saying that, invest in your personality, not in your looks. Invest in your healing. Rather than the things that you present as appealing. Oh, look at that one.
Ooh, hashtag.
Worry more about your heart instead of your shoes. I don't know, right? Like, And it sounds so like easy, and I know that people are stuck here, but also like I think it's a clear antidote. Being honest and vulnerable is going to show you who is going to be willing to be with you or not.
Yeah.
It's the easiest and the scariest, as we talked about earlier, way to figure out if people are going to be there. And you being vulnerable on that date, right? Self-selected this home dog out.
100%.
See ya.
But, and I think that, like, well, we can do a whole other podcast about, like,
sure,
the importance of being okay letting people go.
Oh, yeah.
And not feeling like, well, that was my only, that's like my only catch right now. Oh, that's okay. Yeah,
we could talk about that next time because I got
we can talk about that forever. But, like, I really like this, like, the let them principle. I don't know if that's something you're, like, we could talk about that forever too. But, like, if people aren't going to meet you where you're at, let them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go.
Yeah.
It's okay.
They just prove themselves.
There will be people who get you. Yeah. There will.
Yes. And you have to get you too.
Yeah, we got to get there first. Yeah. Before. Well, I think that that's an important part of the process. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you don't get you in the exploration of getting yourself, you might figure out all of this too.
Yeah.
So be vulnerable, be yourself.